Open up to Big John. John chapter 1. We're going to approach this morning's lesson from a little different vantage point. In my mind, John is like the Genesis of the New Testament, because the book of Genesis starts off in the beginning, you know. And in John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was what? Do you remember this morning's message? Repentance unto life. That little phrase there, in Him was life. And when He came and walked amongst humans on this world, He was the only human vessel on planet Earth that had that life on the inside of Him. More and more I'm understanding better why He is called the seed. It's like God was looking at this planet and every human being. Paul says that we're God's garden. You remember that? We're God's husbandry, which means we're God's garden. Thing of it is, though, in God's garden, of all the spirits, of all the humans on planet Earth, all of them had spiritual death on the inside. So God says, I need to plant a seed. I'm going to send a seed of life packaged in human flesh. And that life is going to reseed the earth and produce a crop of children for me. Is that good or what? Is that good? I like that, though. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. We looked at a verse this morning that said, well, it's John chapter 5, where Jesus said, I've got it right here. Hang on. John 5:24, you don't have to turn there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That life that Jesus was seated in, or was in him when he was seated in the womb of Mary, can we say it that way? It's the same life that was imparted to him when he was raised from the dead. So the Father had that life in himself. He gave to the Son to have that life in himself. Then when you became a believer, the Lord Jesus became your Adam. And the life that he had in himself, he imparted that same life to you. And Jesus finishes that verse there, that saying in John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Not going to get it. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. But notice, but is passed from death unto life. All right, let's go back to John 1, because he really says the same thing here. So in verse 4 again, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness. Well, that darkness he's talking about is the whole human race at the time. And the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't understand really who he was. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But thank God for verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. How many in this room tonight, how many watching by video, how many listening have believed on his name? That power, that word power there is exousia. It means he has authorized you. empowered you to become the sons of God. And you have already passed from death unto life. He was the original seed. But that life that was in him was not just to produce one seed. It was to produce many seeds. He died to bring many sons to glory. Amen? And we're in that number somewhere. Thank God for that. Which were born not of blood. What that means is you don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be of the bloodline of Abraham. Nor of the will of the flesh. Now that's that horizontal that we talked about this morning, passed down from Adam and Eve in the garden, who produced children having spiritual death, who produced children having spiritual death. The will of man, the will of the flesh, passed down horizontally. The will of man, but of God. We are born because of the will of God. It was God who came up with this plan. It was God who sent his only begotten Son, who loved us so much he was not willing to go through eternity without us. It was God's plan, God's will, that we be conformed to the image of his Son. Is that good stuff or what? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now, look at this is the same John. In fact, I remember the day that this went off in me. Okay, hold your place there and go to Little John. First John. Yeah, not the littlest John. There's Little John, Littler John, and Littlest John. Anyway, then there's Big John. Sorry. Now notice how he words it here in Big John 4:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it says, we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And you have to understand at the moment that he's saying this, Jesus is the only human, the only person in a human vessel on planet Earth. He's the only one that has that life of God on the inside of him. He's the only one that has the glory of the sonship. And John is going, we beheld it. We beheld that glory. And probably 80 years later, 1 John was written more near the end of his life. Maybe good after serving the Lord 80 years, I still can hear the enthusiasm, the amazement still as he writes in this first little, first few verses here. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of what? The word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Can you, maybe 80 years later, can you tell it's still astounding and amazing, this life that they witnessed, and he's still bearing witness? But one of the main purposes of this little letter, 1 John, is to let these people know that the life that they handled, that now that you've been born again, you have that same eternal life in you. That's one of the main purposes. We won't get it all done tonight, but we're going to look at some of it. Leave a marker in 1 John. We're going to come back there. Let me put one in there. Now go to Luke chapter 1. It's so important that I don't know how many times I want to draw this verbal picture, that it's so important that we all understand we are not of Adam anymore. The spirit that is in us was never even touched by Adam. You are not of this world. Jesus said that. That's what John 14, 15, 16, and 17 are probably the four chapters in the Bible I have spent most of my adult Christian life in. Because of just astounding things. And I remember when he said, you're not of the world. He would say to the Father, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When I first read that, and I'm still smoking, and I may have read it before I quit drinking. It wasn't the very first day. It was 2 or 3 weeks before I quit. And I'm messed up. I'm just telling you, I'm messed up, And I'm not of the world, and I'm going, what? Who are you talking to? Well, he was talking to this new creature that was on the inside of me that I didn't relate to that fella hardly at all. I was relating to this outer guy, you know. I still remember. It'll always be with me. I received the Lord. I was 33 years old. Most of you know my testimony. Now, it's not like I'd never heard of Jesus. I was raised in denominational church. But I get, 4th of July, 1980, I bow the knee in the living room of our house, and I ask the Lord to come in my heart. That next week, there's a new sheriff in town. I so remember the preaching that was coming from my new nature, from Christ in me, and I remember arguing with it. And then one of the main ones, you know, this is not one of the main things, it says that pornography's got to go. And then here's some, that's, nobody was preaching from the outside to me, it's from the inside. It wasn't there before. The week before, I didn't have any problem with it. But there's a new sheriff in town. And he's preaching. It's that life. It's that life on the inside. The one that comes in that's holy and moral from the get-go. And it's right off. Okay, that pornography's got to go. And I remember arguing with it. Do you know how much money we have invested in this? I've been collecting this for years, you know. And that was just one issue. And I still remember the going back and forth. Because of those events, it helps me distinguish between my spirit and my soul. My soul will argue with my new nature. It'll argue with it. But thank God my new nature wins, see? Thank God for the Holy Ghost that builds us up on our most holy faith, keeping us in the love of God until we're more and more we yield and yield and yield. But let's look at Luke now. Let's look at heading on down to... And start verse 31. This angel came and appeared to Mary. Now you got to remember, from the fall of Adam, for all these generations, not a single human had been born on planet Earth that had the life of God on the inside of them. They all were born spiritually dead, all of them. It's that horizontal coming down all the way from Adam and Eve. But every generation, every person born had that horizontal life of the world that had spiritual death. Then this angel comes, talks to Mary. And the angel said unto her, verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom..." I hear pages turning. I'm sorry. I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 33 now. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, Well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's thinking that horizontal procreation, that horizontal life. She's going, I've never been with a man. How can this be? And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." See, he turns her immediately from thinking about a naturally born baby from the earth, to looking vertical to God. God, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now, for those of you that can't see me, what I'm doing, when I was describing the generations produced by Adam and Eve, I was taking my hand and kind of going horizontally in front of me, like all of this life is being generated on planet Earth. It's called the spirit of the world. And it's humans producing humans through the law of Genesis. But they're passing on that spiritual death to every generation. But see, this one, he says, no, this one that's going to be conceived in your womb is not going to come through man. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon thee. Now I'm going vertically. If you can't see me, I'm using my hand going vertically. God is going to sow a seed of life into this spiritually dead gene pool on planet Earth. It's going to interrupt the flow of that man-produced life. Not of the will of the man, not of the will of flesh. This birth is from the will of God. I love it. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee vertically. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God imparted that life directly from God the Father by way of the Holy Ghost into the womb of Mary. It was not produced by the will of man, did not come from any bloodline, did not come by the will of the flesh. That life was imparted from God the Father himself. So do you have any problem with this statement? The spirit that was conceived in the womb of Mary was never touched by Adam. Do you have any problem with that? I didn't either when I'm thinking about Jesus. But see what I found out later. You keep reading, you find out that the Father had that life in himself. He gave to the Son to have that life in himself. And when Jesus, this brings us to our favorite verse, Romans 8, go to Romans 8, 11. Where Dave, he knew the importance of this, Dave did. I see it now. Over and over, relentlessly, we all got, come on Dave, please, let's move on. Week after week, month after month, I don't know how long we stayed on this right here. And now I'm understanding, finally, why it is so important that we understand this. You ought to see my Bible, Romans 8 is really marked up, but anyway. But if the spirit of him, and of course in the King James it's got a capital S because they're thinking it's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's involved. The Holy Spirit was involved in producing that life in Mary. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. But that thing conceived in thee, see, that thing conceived in her, that's that spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost is involved. But it's not the Holy Ghost. It's the life of Christ. It is that spirit which is of him. It is that spirit of him in this verse. If this should be a little S. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. See, it's that same life that was imparted to Jesus later that raised him from the dead. He had taken sin into himself. The Old Testament type and shadow would be when they threw down that rod. And the rod is a wood. It's a type of the cross. And on the cross, Jesus became the serpent that swallowed up all the other serpents. He took the sin into himself. He says he tasted death for every man. But God, after the penalty was paid in full, 3 days and three nights, spoke to him again and said, "This day thou art my son." God spoke those words of life, and that spirit which is of God, the spirit which is of him, was imparted the second time into Jesus and raised him from the dead. And this verse says that same life that was imparted that raised him from the dead. When you got born again, that same spirit of him dwells in you. That same spirit of life. It's the same spirit, the spirit of him. Hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 12. How he said it to the Romans and how he said it to the Corinthians was a little different, but he's talking exactly the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Got them pinched together there? Romans 8:11 and 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, it says, "Now we have received." What's he talking about there? Now that you've been born again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is that Adamic spirit passed down through the law of Genesis horizontally on the world, in the world, horizontally and on the world. Every human being receives the spirit of the world. when you're born of your mother's womb. Everybody. But he says, now that you're born again, you didn't receive that spirit again. What you've received now, look how it's phrased, but the spirit which is of God. That, now flip back to Romans 8:11. That is the exact same thing as the spirit of him. It is the same thing. He's teaching the same lesson. It is the spirit of him. It is the spirit which is of God. And you either have it in you, or you're still a child of the world. You're either a product of the first man, Adam, or you're a product of the last man, Adam. But I'm telling you right now, you're not a product of both. You're not a product of both. It's one or the other. You've either been born again, or you haven't been born again. And this is where I usually go into things like joining a church won't get it done. Giving money away won't get it done. Being nicer won't get it done. Stopping cussing won't get it done. Keeping the Sabbath won't get it done. Sorry. Keeping the law won't get it done. There is nothing you can do to avoid birth. You have to be born again. It is from above. It is a new life. You can't remodel the old one. And there's no remodeling of the old life that will substitute. You must be born of the Spirit. Go to John 3. Let's look at that. Let's look at that again real quick. I'm just hanging on by his coattails here and going where he says go. John 3:16. Right after that, or maybe right before it. I had a John 3 in here earlier. I know I did. Talking with Nicodemus. John 3, look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see, can't see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus is a natural man. He's thinking all natural. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. What does that represent, women? That's a water breaking, but he's talking about being born of the world. You got to be born here first. And of the Spirit. Say it with me. Born of the Spirit. Born naturally, but then born of the Spirit. Unless a person is born of the Spirit, you didn't notice that. Let's do it again. Except a person be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, there's no remodeling of the old man. This is why Alan keeps, you know, he keeps getting flack because he'll use that analogy of bringing in 4-year-old Alan into the throne of God. And God, you know, it's sad because we all like little 4-year-olds, you know. But, you know, he's bringing in little wounded 4-year-old Alan. Wasn't it his dad that died at age 4? So there's been a wound, you know. So it seems perfectly natural. So the new man, Adam Taylor, the new man who's no longer really Adam Taylor, he walks into, you know, into the throne room, but he's got little 4-year-old Alan with him, see. Well, a little 4-year-old Alan was born of the flesh. It's totally quiet. Little 4-year-old Alan was born of the first man, Adam. You can't bring that old man with you. It's like walking in with a corpse strapped to your back. You can't do that. You got to mortify that person. You got to mortify those things. I'm not getting hardly any amens at all. See, I got to come up with a better way. I told Alan, we got to come up with a different analogy than the 4-year-old because we just can't take it. We all love 4-year-olds too much. We got to come up with I understand why he does it because his dad died when he was 4. I understand why he's doing it. What he's trying to get across to us, though, it's the difference between life and religion. Most of the church world, I'll just be honest with you, and I won't say most, much of the church world. Even Charles Finney in his days, he said the churches were filled with people who were not born again. And I think now, I'm not talking about this church, but many of the mainstream and other churches, they've never really had that life-changing, born-again experience. They're being nicer people. They're dressing nice and doing right and trusting, whether they say it or not, in their good works to try, hopefully make it to heaven, see? You'll never get there that way. There is no sprucing up, polishing, correcting, dressing up, making nicer the Adamic man. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He is dead and he has to be born again. It's a new life. No wonder it says in Corinthians, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I have studied that word. It means creation. It does not mean anything remodeled. It means something that did not exist before. You got new life. Life was imparted to you. That's good stuff. Keep preaching it, Brother Gary. I think I will. Hallelujah. Born of the Spirit, see? Now, I promised you we'd get a little more into 1 John. Let's look in 1 John here for just a moment. 1 John, a big reason why he wrote this letter, is so that these people would know that they had eternal life. That they know that they had it, that same eternal life. The one that he starts off saying, we handled it at first, we saw it, we touched it, we talked with it. But see, later they had that same life in them. And he's wanting that everyone who reads this letter to know that if you're a believer in Christ, you have that same life in you. Now, we're just going to touch on a couple of highlights tonight. But here's one of them. Go to chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I got a call from a good friend in another state here not too long ago. In fact, he's a preacher. He says, I'm worried. He says here that if I don't love my brother, I'm still abiding in death. Maybe I'm not really born again. I thought I was, but he says, I'm not saying I hate anybody, but I'm not really saying I really love all of them either. Now, we were laughing because we're all relating with that, right? If he's in trouble, we're all in trouble, okay? And I said, you can't lift the verse out of its setting. You're missing what John is saying. Look at the verse before it. It only makes sense if you leave them together. See, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The world he's talking about there is all of the whole world without Christ. You see it, the persecution coming against the church even now. And if you're part of that world, you think Christians are bigots and haters and unloving and all of the things that they're saying. And if you're not born again, that sounds right. And you're part of that world. You still have the spirit of the world on the inside of you. And you hate Christians. You'd be part of the ones persecuting them. But it says, no, no. I hope y'all aren't in church tonight feeling like that. You know, no. If you've been born again, you see things from a spiritual perspective. And no matter what humanism says, sin is what God says it is. See? Righteousness is what God says is righteousness. Holiness is what God says is holiness. And you love the brethren. And you're part of the kingdom of God. And your mind is being transformed to the mind of Christ. You don't hate Christians. You're part of the Christian world. I said, that's what that's talking about. I said, you're not out persecuting Christians. But the world is. He said, but if you love the brethren, that doesn't mean that you're perfect in love. If the only ones that, if heaven is only populated with people that are perfect in love, that is going to be one lonely place. Now, you may be perfected on the way there, okay? I'm kind of hoping for some of that. So I'm hoping on the journey from here to there's some perfecting being done. I'm hoping. Okay? That's not what, but you got to leave them together. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Well, the world, that spirit of the world, is always going to be opposed to the spirit which is of God. The spirit of the world wants what it wants when it wants it. If it feels good, do it. You know, okay. I wasn't going to say that. But, or the world will take the way of Cain. I will decide what my religion will be. I don't have to offer it up the way that God did it through that slain animal. I don't have to trust in the blood of Jesus that someone innocent had to die for me. No. I will make up my own religion. I will take the fruit of the ground and I will offer it to God and he will accept me. And he found out that he didn't. So what did Cain do? Cain's a type of the world. Cain slew Abel. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. They'd remove you. Some of them would if they could. And they may before this is over. Isn't that something right there? But if you love God and in you is a love for his word and a love for his people, that doesn't mean you're perfectly getting along with everybody. But you're not part of the world anymore. And one way you can know that you have this eternal life, you're seeing things from a spiritual perspective. You know what God said and you're going to hold to what he said no matter what the world says. Okay, so that's one proof. All right. Come down to John chapter 5. Yeah, 1 John, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 5. This is a good... the verses I'm after start in verse 11. But it's such a good witnessing tool. Let's start in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He's talking about the Word. What God has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. More than once I have had this discussion with people that are nice people, good people, moral people. They're not born again though. And I'll ask them, I say, who is Jesus? You know, they said, well, Jesus was a good man. I said, well, do you believe that he is the Son of God? Well, not so sure about that. But he's a good man. You know, he was a good man. And I said, no, the Bible doesn't leave you that option. Jesus is either who he says he is, or he's either a stark raving lunatic or the greatest con man of all time. He's either the Son of God and the only path to heaven, or he's a lunatic that should have been locked up. And if they choose, say, if you try and get them to, you start showing them anything out of the Bible, oh, I don't believe that. I say, look, you're calling God a liar. This is the record that God has given of his Son, and it's not just the New Testament. You find Christ in every book of the Bible. I mean, every type and shadow points to Christ. This is the record God gave of his Son. And I had this discussion recently. I said, look, do you understand that there is a God? You're going to stand before him someday? Are you going to hold his book up in his face and say you're a liar? That's what you're doing. Isn't that what that verse says? Look at it again. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. But he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And you tell him, you gotta make a decision. It's not good enough to say he was a good man, but he wasn't who he said he is. Get on one side of the fence or the other. Don't try and straddle it. Jesus is either who he says he is, or he's a stark raving lunatic. Now you better make up your mind, because your whole eternity depends on your decision. It's a good witnessing tool. And that's not even the verse I was headed for. So going to verse 11. This is where I was going. This is the record that God This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now, what life? It's the very life that he started off talking about in John chapter 1. This is why the radical grace people that all say that John chapter 1 is not written to Christians, they're just nuts. Is that theological enough for you? they're just nuts, because everything about the book is predicated from verses 1 and 2. He starts off talking about the life. And then he wants you to understand that same life that we witnessed, that we handled, that we spoke to, that same life is now in you. You can't take out chapter 1 and the rest of the book doesn't make sense. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. There is no other access to it. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It doesn't get any more clear than that, does it? Isn't that about as clear as it gets? You're either one or the other. You're either born of the first man, Adam, or you've been born of the last man, Adam. And there is no other way to get to life. You either have the Son, good. There's nothing mentioned there about good works, clean up your act, stop cussing, stop doing this. Those are all fruit of the Spirit when you overcome those things, you know, stop doing those things. But there's only one way into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Hallelujah. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now look at verse 13, and I'm about to close now. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. See, this book is not written to unbelievers. This book is written to believers, no matter what the radical grace people say. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. But wouldn't that be all of us? Why is he writing it? That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. How many of you know? How many of you have the Son? Say it with me. I have the Son. The life is in the Son. I have the Son. And I have eternal life. I'm not surprised that the world hates me. I have that life. And the life is in the Son. I am a child of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. I think that's enough for tonight. Is that good stuff or what? Isn't it amazing what's in there? His word is just simply amazing. Okay? All right. Here's a little confession. We'll say this. You ready? The life that's in me. The spirit that's in me. Was never touched by Adam. I am not of Adam. I am of Christ. I don't know if I've told you this or not. I shared it with a couple of people so far. I may have said it to y'all. You know what he said to me the other day? Don't ever tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. He said, did you ever notice that, or you ever think about, even Adam is not an Adam anymore? Well, he's not. You can tell that Adam repented and had a relationship with God. Now he couldn't do anything about going back from death to life. So Adam, when he did finally die 900 and some odd years later physically, he waited in that place called paradise, later called Abraham's bosom. He waited there with all the rest of them. But when the firstborn came, when he was raised from the dead, and he came and preached the gospel to them, and they were all born again, and he led them up into heaven with him, Adam was one of them. It's amazing that Adam is not of Adam anymore. Adam is of Christ. Only God can figure things like that out. You know, I just pray in tongues. He does all the rest of it. It's amazing. Amazing. I never heard anything like that in my life. But even Adam is not of Adam. It is. But we're not of Adam. So let's say it again. The spirit that's in me was never touched by Adam. The spirit that's in me is of God. It came from the Father, through the Son, by way of the Holy Ghost, and then into me. I have the Son. Therefore I have life. And it is really true. I am not of this world. Hallelujah, see. Now, we've heard and you've heard and you could teach, you know, we are ambassadors for Christ, right? Now, if you were an ambassador for the USA and they sent you to some impoverished little country, you know, and, you know, they, in order to be the ambassador there, you know, the best that they have is a nice grass hut with a swept dirt floor and, you know, you're living there, but you're an ambassador for the United States, you know, and so you represent the United States but one day they get mad at you. All the village people get mad at you. And they come and they threaten you. And the worst they can do is make you go back to your home country where there's air conditioning and good food and a feather bed. And you go, you're going to do what? You're going to send me back to my home country? Oh, that's terrible punishment for a martyr. We're ambassadors to this God, not forsaken, for this very lost planet. Not forsaken, for sure, but very lost planet. And the worst they can do, send you back to your home country. Send you back where there's no famine, no war, no... That's the worst you can do. You ought to snicker a little bit. Really? That's the worst you got? Bring it on. I forgot to share a testimony that I just received this afternoon from somebody in another state, and they're very closely associated with the prayer center. They come to every conference, and they just live in another state. She called and left a message on my phone, just so excited. Somebody, a family member, that they have been basically calling in the lost for 22 years, got saved in their kitchen. Came back a day or two later and says, I also need that baptism in the Holy Ghost. And got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. 22 years. Said, don't ever give up praying for your family. Don't ever get up. So is that encouraging to you? And then I haven't talked with her yet. I just heard the message. She says, our family members now, or just seems like they're falling like dominoes all of a sudden. Here we've been standing, and all of a sudden it's like God's just causing a harvest to sweep through. So just keep on, okay? Let's have no quitting sense. Amen.